finished last week the Akedah. And now we come to the prayer after the Akedah. After we say the Akedah, every morning we say this prayer, but we only say this prayer on days that we don't confess, that we don't say Tachan. And the prayer is in our prayer book, it's in the middle of page 14, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe. K'mo yishakavash Avraham Avinu, Esrachamav, just as Avraham, our father, suppressed his compassion, Me'al ben Yechide, from his only son, Las es Ritzeincha, to do your will, Belev of Shalom, wholeheartedly, Cain, so too, our prayer to you is, Yichbushu, Rachamecha, your compassion, should suppress Eskascha, your wrath, Me'aleinu. Even though it was a little different, Avraham suppressed his kindness and mercy and compassion and acted like sternly. Here we're asking Hashem to do the exact opposite. We're asking Hashem to suppress his wrath and his strictness and to act kindly with us. And may your mercy prevail over your attribute of stern justice. And may you act toward us, Hashem Elokeinu, the Lord our God, b'midas hachesed, with the attribute of kindness, u'b'midas harachamim, with the attribute of compassion, v'sikonus lanu lefnim mishur hasadin, and act with us leniently, beyond the straight line of din. In other words, even if we're not worthy, we're acting Hashem to completely go outside the frame of reference, because the difference between chesed and din, kindness and strictness, they're really in the same frame, they're working in the same frame of reference. What's the frame of reference? There's a world, there's midas, there's attributes, there's din, there's justice, there's law and order. There are rules. If you do the right thing, you're rewarded. If you do the wrong thing, you're punished. No one argues. The whole argument between the attribute of kindness and the attribute of din is that kindness is lenient. Kindness pushes the envelope in the other direction. Kindness expands. The attribute of kindness tries to expand who's worthy. Anyone who has a little kindness, a little goodness to him, he's worthy, he deserves to be rewarded. The attribute of din is very stern. It could be very harsh, unforgiving, uncompromising, perfectionist. No, if there's one little stain, deserves to be punished, be the greatest person, the tiniest stain, like the greatest tzaddikim, they did the smallest sin, that's it, whack, bam, that's it. The smallest stain shows up. You have a pure white suit, the smallest stain shows up. And therefore they come down harshly and with sternness and with justice. This person deserves to be punished. That's the difference between the defense, the lawyer, and the prosecutor. They're looking at the same person. The defense lawyer is bringing out all the good attributes, why we should consider him and be kind to this person. He doesn't deserve to be punished. He has goodness to him. There's good things to him. There's kind things. There's good things he can say about him. And therefore, we deserve to be lenient. And the attribute, the prosecutor, is no, unforgiving, uncompromising. Lay down the law, and he sinned, and he's worthy of punishment. But the underlying assumption, the whole underlying assumption, the whole frame of reference is they both agree that someone should be rewarded for good behavior and someone deserves to be punished for negative behavior. It's only the question is what's considered good behavior, you expand it, or you shrink it and minimize it and you expand what's considered negative behavior. That's the argument. The cup is half full, the cup is half, you have to punish it because the cup is half empty. Or you have to reward him because the cup is half full. Everyone is meritorious. You can find good things to say about everyone. They're meritorious. They deserve to be rewarded. And the attribute of din says, no, even the best person deserves to be punished. That's not good. That's not good enough. That's called serving Hashem. It's like a stain. Deserves to be punished. Here we're asking Hashem to go beyond the whole frame of reference. Lefnim mishur hasadin, to go beyond the line. To step outside of the line. That even though we're not worthy, we're so unworthy, maybe even chesed has nothing good to say about us. Even the defender, even the lawyer is quieted. He has nothing good to say about us because
we're better than his brother.
Better than his brother. Compared to his brother, he's a tzaddik. And nevertheless, we ask Hashem to go beyond, just like Avram Avinu. Avram was the epitome of kindness. He worked on his kindness. He was naturally kind. Then he worked on his kindness. He was 137 years old. He was working on his kindness, developing it and amplifying it. And, you know, his tent was open on all four sides. He was, every day, that's what he lived for. And here suddenly Hashem asked him to do something that's so harsh and so cruel. Was Avram even capable of it? And not only did Avram do it, he did it wholeheartedly and joyfully. In other words, he completely suppressed his nature. Because our attributes, human attributes, you know, we have choice. We have a choice. Ultimately, it's based on our will. It's not like the sun shines, for example. The sun really has no choice. The sun can't suddenly decide not to shine, not to give off light. That's the sun is, and the sun gives off light. It's automatically, because there's a sun, there's light. Wherever there's a sun, there's light. You can't have one without the other. So you may think, maybe a soul is also the same way. Wherever there's a soul, there's life. And the proof is, the moment the soul connects with the body comes alive. All 37 trillion cells come alive. It's not just an engine, it's not just a motor. The body is alive, it's not a corpse. You can see the difference between a corpse and a live body, a live cell. The moment the soul comes in contact with the body comes alive. Like the soul can't help it. It's not like the soul can decide, you know, okay, I don't want to give life to the body. It's like a sun. There's a sun, there's light. So you may think, and maybe the attributes that a person has, you're helpless, you can't help yourself. A person who's kind by nature, that's who you are. And it's like the sun has to give off light. The person that's kind has to be kind, always has to be kind. A person who's liberal always has to be liberal. Can't be any other way. This is just the nature. This is what flows from his soul, kindness. A person who's the opposite, conservative and tough and demanding, this is who he is. He can't change himself. But we see from the Akedah, it's not true. We see that a person has freedom of choice. Ultimately, it's our will. Everything that emanates from the soul, it's not automatic. It's our will. It's my will. And therefore, if my will is to act the exact opposite of the way my nature is, totally beyond my nature, against my nature. For 137 years, Avram was the epitome of kindness, developing, advancing from day to day, from moment to moment, developing his love and his kindness. And here, all of a sudden, he chose wholeheartedly to suppress that attribute of kindness, which naturally flowed from his soul and was amplified and highly developed. And he totally transformed that and emanated from himself the exact opposite. He became tough, harsh, ready to sacrifice his son. And he did it wholeheartedly. So this tells me that the soul ultimately transcends these limitations, these boundaries. You're not defined, you're not limited by your natural tendencies, and it's whatever you want. And if you want to do the exact opposite, it goes totally contrary to your nature, you can find it in your soul and bring out from within yourself. Suddenly Avram found it in himself, this strength, toughness, harshness, sternness, the exact opposite of his nature. So a person can go totally beyond his nature, totally beyond, like transcend the whole frame of reference, definitions, limitations, even definitions. He can go beyond that. So we ask Hashem, we plead to Hashem, based on the merit of the Akedah, that we ask Hashem to do the same, that even if we don't deserve it, and even the attribute of kindness maybe says we don't deserve it. And if we follow the shura, the line, the din, the way, the frame of reference of the way things are set up in this world, that if you behave appropriately, you're rewarded, and if you misbehave, you're punished. So therefore, what are we asking Hashem? This is the way things are set up. So we're asking Hashem to go b'lifnim mishuras hadin, go beyond. Just like Avram was able to totally transcend and go beyond his limits, his definitions. And he chose and he was willing and he suppressed his kindness to act the exact opposite way. So we ask Hashem to suppress his strictness. And he should go not only in the attribute of kindness, the attribute of mercy, but even if the attribute of kindness and the attribute of mercy, they themselves have nothing good to say about us. L'fnim mishuras hadin, go beyond, just do it, even if we don't deserve it. As it says in the Zohar, one of the reasons we say the Akedah every day, this is a tremendous merit for the Jewish people, especially when we're in exile. Whoever says the Akedah, Hashem says, stop, no harm should come to this person. Al tasle mumma, don't do anything to him. This is what protects us. Because this willingness and this ability to totally transcend our own frame of reference, so Hashem, this evokes a response from Hashem, that Hashem also transcends the whole frame of reference, and even if we don't deserve it, we're basically asking Hashem to bring Mashiach, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, fulfill all of His promises to us, even if we're not deserving. You shouldn't wait until we're worthy and deserving. That's the whole basis of this prayer. Don't wait until we're worthy and deserving. Firstly, you may wait, I mean, who knows how long you're going to have to wait, if you're going to wait until... worthy and deserving. You know, it's you're going to get tired waiting. You're going to get bored waiting. So look, the proof is we're still here. We're still in exile. You need more proof than that. So enough with this waiting and enough with this. We ask Hashem to rise above, transcend all the shuras ha-din, the line of din, and just bring Mashiach, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, gather in the exile. And we continue, b'tuvcha hagadol, with your great goodness, yashuv, charein apcha, let your fierce anger turn away. Yashuv, to turn away, return, charein apcha, the fierce anger, me'amcha, from your nation, me'ircha, from your city, Jerusalem, me'artzicha, from your land, the holy land of Israel, me'achlasecha, from your heritage. And that's why there's fierce anger. Who does a parent get angry at? When a stranger misbehaves, you get angry. Fiercely angry. What do I care? Not my child. But if it's your child, this is your city, it's your land, it's your nation, it's your heritage. And if we don't live up to our potential, then it evokes fierce anger. So we're asking Hashem, nevertheless, He has good reason to be fiercely angry. But we ask Hashem to turn away that fierce anger. V'kayim lanu, and fulfill for us. Hashem Elokeinu, God our God, es hadavar shiftachtonu b'seidasecha, the promise which you made us in your Torah. Aydei Moshe avdecha, through Moshe your servant, v'pich v'edecha, in your glorious name, ka'amur. As it says, a quote, it says in the book of Leviticus, Hashem says, v'zacharti, I'll remember, it's Brisi Yaakov. I'll remember the covenant I made with Yaakov. Here, if you notice, Yaakov is spelled with a vav. Yaakov is usually spelled without a vav. Yud Ayin Kuf Vez. And there are five times altogether in the Torah and the Tanakh where Yaakov is spelled with a vav. Eliyahu is spelled with a vav. Wherever Eliyahu is mentioned in the Tanakh, it's spelled with a vav, with the exception of five times. Because it says Yaakov took the vav from Eliyahu as a collateral, until he does his job and makes a siyum and concludes the galus, the exile, and blows the shofar. So Yaakov took a collateral to make sure that Eliyahu is going to do what he has to do, and he's not getting back his vav. He's not getting his vav back. His name is not going to be whole until he does his job. So Hashem says, "I remember the covenant of Yaakov, Af es Brisi Yitzchak, and also the covenant with Yitzchak." I also remember the covenant with Avram. I remember the Holy Land. Why does he start with Yaakov? Why doesn't he start with Avram, then Yitzchak, then Yaakov? So he's saying, really, Yaakov's merit is enough. But if, for whatever reason, our sin is so egregious that Yaakov's merit is not enough, so add to Yaakov Yitzchak's merit. And if that's not enough, our sins are so egregious that the merit of Yaakov and Yitzchak are not enough, then add Avram. And surely the three of them, for their merit, would surely be enough to redeem us, whether we're worthy or not. We are to ask and remember the land. In Nemar, and it says, also in the book of Leviticus, the end of Leviticus, in Chukos of Havkam Zeis, yet even then, even then, when the Jewish people are in the land of their enemy, and there's a reason why we're in the land of enemy, not because we were worthy. If we were worthy, we'd never be in the land of our enemy. We're not worthy, and we're in the land of our enemy. We're exiled. And nevertheless, le'ma'astim v'le'ga'altim, I will not abhor them, le'ga'altim, I will not spurn them, I will not find them disgusting, I will not spit them out, l'chaleisam, to destroy them, l'hafer berisi itam, to annul my covenant with them, ki, because ani Hashem elikeyem, I am God, their God. So the Zohar says, l'chaleisam, should really be spelled with a vav. Instead, the way it's written, it sounds like l'kalasam, which is a kala. Why doesn't Hashem despise us? Because we're his kala. And he gives an analogy. He says a king would never go hang out in the tanner's market. The smells and the harsh, unpleasant smells of the market, tanner's market. You have to use dung to clean the hide, and it's just very unpleasant. You know, you don't find a king won't be found there. It's like a very industrial labor, very hard work, and unpleasant smells. But if the king's kala, the king's bride, is in the shuk shel bursiki, is in this marketplace of this tanner's marketplace, the king will go there. Because his bride is there. And he'll find all these smells and all these aromas, he'll find them pleasing. Like perfume. Because he's together with his kala. So because we are Hashem's kala, we're the bride, that's why Hashem doesn't find all these unpleasant odors, disgusting. And he's together with us. V'nemar, and it says, this is a quote, also from the end of the book of Leviticus, V'zacharti lem bris yishonim, I will remember in their favor the covenant of with their ancestors, asher etzeisi oisam meretz Mitzrayim, which I took out of the land of Egypt, the 12 tribes, the house of Jacob, the people of Israel, I took out of Egypt, le'enei hagoyim, before the eyes of the nations, in a very public way, li'yois lahem alekim, to be their God, ani Hashem. So just like Hashem took us out of Egypt, when he took us out of Egypt, we weren't worthy either. We reached the 49 gates of impurity. Had we remained one more second longer, you would have reached the 50th gate. And yet Hashem dived in personally took each and every one of us out of Egypt. We were like in the street, dirty. He picked us up, he lifted us up, cleaned us up, and brought us into his palace, into his room, to be intimate with us, to marry us. So too, now, even though we are in exile, not just material exile, physical exile, but spiritual exile. And nevertheless, despite our unpleasant odors and despite our very sad, tragic state of being, Hashem is with us, and Hashem will keep his covenant with us, will remember his covenant with us to be our God. In Nemar, and it says, and this is a quote from the end of Deuteronomy, it says, Hashem will return your exiles and he will have compassion upon you. V'shav, and he will gather you, v'kibetcha mikol amim, from all the nations, asher afitcha Hashem lekecha shama, where Hashem has scattered you, is referring to Mashiach. Hashem will bring home all the exiles. Even if there's a Jew who's dispersed the end of edge of heaven, which is like saying the end of the earth, the furthermost parts of the world, from there Hashem will gather you, from there he will take you, he will fetch you, he will bring you to the land that your ancestors have inherited, and you will inherit it. And he will do good to you, and increase your numbers above your forefathers, even more so than your forefathers. So the question is, as Rashi points out, why does he say v'shav? Hashem will return your exiles. It should have said, if you know Hebrew, it should have said Veheshiv. You're causing others to return, Veheshiv. He will make return, you make us return. Veshav refers to himself. Hashem himself will return. So Rashi says the Pasuk is teaching us something new. That not only, as it says in Tehillim, Ima inaychi b'tzar, Hashem is with us in our pain. That we know. We know that Hashem is with us. If Hashem wasn't with us, we couldn't have survived. How could one sheep survive surrounded by 70 wolves who are trying to devour us and swallow us alive if not for Hashem protecting us and watching us? That's why it says when Mashiach will come, the Goyim will praise Hashem. Because why are the Goyim praising Hashem? Because only they know. We don't even know half of it. They know better than us, and we'll never know how many times they tried to plot against us and harm us, and miraculously Hashem saved us and stopped the plot. So of course Hashem is with us. Starting with the first Jew, Avram, and then Yitzhak, Yaakov, Hashem is with them every step of the way, protecting them and helping them and guiding them. So that we already know. Hashem is with us in our tzaddis. In other words, Hashem empathizes with us, Hashem cares about us, Hashem shields us, He protects us. But what that means is, it doesn't mean that Hashem is suffering. Hashem isn't like the king in the palace. But He loves us, He cares about us, He's watching us, He's protecting us. Here the Torah is telling us something novel, something new, that Hashem is together with us in the tzaddis. Hashem is suffering with us. As it says, B'chol tzarasam loitzar, in all our tzaddis and all our... Hashem Himself feels the pain and is in pain together with us. That's why it says when Mashiach comes, it doesn't say Hashem is going to return us. Veheshiv. No, Veheshiv loinema. Elevishav, Hashem Himself is going to return. Hashem Himself has to be redeemed from exile. Hashem is in exile with us. And that's why the Goyim have always mocked the Jew since the destruction. Didn't he get the message that God, you're unchosen? God doesn't love you anymore? Look what he does. What more could he do to tell you that it's over? He destroyed your house. He banished you, exiled you. You're being persecuted. You have so many tzaddis. What more can Hashem say that you're the pariah? Hashem despises you. Hashem spit you out. Hashem is punishing you, is heaping you with tzaddis. On the contrary, Hashem is with us every step of the way. We are married to Hashem. Hashem is married to us. And Hashem is with us every step of the way. Hashem is in exile. We're in exile together with Him. That's the real reason we're in exile. And we're in exile. Hashem is in exile with us. The marriage is stronger than ever. Hashem is with us in exile. And when 10 Jews get together and they pray, they daven, Hashem is there. Hashem is present. The Shechinah is present. Just like He was present in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is present. When we suffer, Hashem suffers, is suffering with us. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us. Novelty, Veshav, Hashem Himself, not only from a distance, Hashem empathizes with us, protects us, feels our pain, but Hashem is literally suffering with us. It's His pain. He is in exile. And He Himself needs a redemption. Question is, if you're in exile, how could you redeem? The prisoner can't release himself from prison. You need someone on the outside to release him from prison. So even if Hashem is in exile, who's going to redeem us? If Hashem, so to speak, is in exile with us, so we're stuck in prison, how do we get out? And the proof is, look, we're stuck in prison. We just can't get out of this. It seems like even Hashem can't get out of this. We just can't change or can't bring this to an end, bring this to a close. So the answer is, Hashem, before He went into exile with us, He wrote in the Torah a release date. He wrote, there's going to be a release date. And with this date, we all go out. No matter what, we all go out. But not Hashem goes out ahead of us. Hashem goes out together with us. And once every last Jew is redeemed, then Hashem is redeemed, and that is the redemption. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi is not satisfied with this explanation. This should be the only explanation, even though this is the primary explanation. Because the question is, If the whole novelty that the Torah is teaching us is that Hashem is with a Jew in exile, Hashem himself is suffering with us, he himself is in exile, then the Torah should have taught us this. He should have said when we're in exile. Here, this verse is telling us about redemption, that the time of redemption has arrived, Hashem is going to return all the exiles from all the four corners of the world, of the earth, and bring them back to the Holy Land. So why is he teaching, when he's talking about redemption, is he teaching us about the exile? He should have chosen a verse that discusses the exile, and there he should have taught us that the state of exile is such that Hashem is with us. So that's where it actually gives another explanation. That Vishav, Hashem is coming to teach us that to redeem Jews from exile, to redeem every single individual Jew from his physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual exile, it's going to be so difficult that Hashem is, so to speak, going to have to take every one of us individually by the hand and schlep us out of Golos. He's going to have to pull us out of the exile. So that's what it means, Vishav, Hashem is with us. To get us out of exile, it can't be from remote, from a distance. Hashem, so to speak, is going to have to grab us by the hand and walk us out of exile, take us out of exile. So he himself is walking with us, Vishav, because he's standing right next to us, holding our hand, and walking along with us out of the exile. And today we can picture it. The exile is so deep. The exile is so deeply rooted, unfortunately, tragically. After being in exile for over 1,950 years, the Jew has been so battered. You know, like a wife has been abused for so long that you can't even think straight anymore. That it's not simple to get a Jew out of exile. A Jew yells, I want to be in exile. I love exile. I love the darkness. Can't even imagine, can't even picture the light, the truth, a true redemption. True joy, true honor and dignity. Can't even imagine. Everything has been so distorted and so twisted. So you see how difficult it's going to be, that Hashem will have to grab us by the hand, every one of us, and literally schlep us out of the exile.